Welcome to Listen 2. This is Ted. The news was published on Sunday, September 29th. Joining me today are Eric and Kate to discuss a fascinating new study on vaping and DNA changes. Let's dive right in. Today, we're discussing a new study suggesting vaping could cause DNA changes that raise cancer risk. Let's start with the basics. What did this study find?
Well, Ted, this study's got some pretty eye-opening findings. The eggheads over at the Keck School of Medicine found that young adults who vaped had genetic mutations in their mouth cells that looked eerily similar to what you'd see in cigarette smokers. We're talking about the kind of cellular shenanigans that can lead to cancer and other nasty diseases. It's like vaping is playing the same dangerous game as smoking, just with a fancier game piece.
Hold your horses there, Eric. While that might sound like doom and gloom, we need to pump the brakes a bit. This study only looked at 30 people.
But Kate, this isn't just some one-off finding pulled out of thin air. It's part of a growing mountain of evidence showing the risks of vaping, and let's not forget—
I get that, Eric, but we can't ignore the fact that vaping is still way less harmful than smoking. We shouldn't be scaring people away from a tool that could help them kick their smoking habit.
Let's dig into the specifics a bit more. What exactly did the researchers look at in this study?
Great question, Ted. The researchers were zeroing in on something called DNA methylation in mouth cells. Now, don't let the fancy term scare you. It's a normal cellular process, kind of like the body's way of turning genes on and off. But here's the kicker. When this process goes haywire, it can open the door to all sorts of diseases, including the big C, cancer. It's like the body's instruction manual getting all jumbled up.
Whoa there, Eric. Let's not jump to conclusions. Just because there are changes in DNA methylation doesn't mean cancer is a done deal. There are tons of factors that play into cancer development. It's not like flipping a switch. Plus, our bodies are dealing with DNA changes all the time. It's part of being alive in this crazy world of ours.
I hear you, Kate, but we can't ignore the red flags here. The study found extensive overlap in DNA methylation between vapers and smokers. That's not just a tiny—
But Eric,
the
study also found unique genetic changes in vapers that weren't seen in smokers. This suggests vaping and—
Interesting points, both of you. Let's shift gears a bit. How widespread is vaping, particularly among young people?
Ted, the numbers are honestly pretty shocking. We're looking at about 5.6 million adults who vape regularly, but here's the real kicker. Nearly a million kids under 18 have given it a try. It's not just a trend anymore. Like, we're talking about a full-blown epidemic here. It's like we're watching history repeat itself, but with a high-tech twist.
Now, hold on a second, Eric. While those numbers might sound alarming, we can't ignore the flip side of the coin. Vaping has been a lifeline for countless adults trying to kick their smoking habit. It's not perfect, sure, but we need to weigh the risks against the benefits. It's like having a lifeboat that might have a small leak. It's still better than drowning, right?
Let's put this in historical context. Can you think of a similar situation where a product was initially thought to be safe, but later proved harmful?
Absolutely, Ted. This whole vaping situation is giving me serious deja vu, taking me back to the tobacco industry's heyday in the mid-20th century. For decades, cigarettes were peddled as not just safe, but downright healthy. You had doctors popping up in ads, puffing away, and telling folks to light up. It's like watching an old movie where everyone's making decisions that make you want to yell at the screen.
Come on, Eric, that's an extreme comparison. We've come a long way since then. Our scientific
But Kate, the parallels are striking. In the 1950s, studies started linking smoking to lung cancer, but the industry brushed it off like dandruff. Now we're seeing
the difference here is that vaping was actually developed as a harm reduction tool. It's not the same as the deliberate deception.
How did the tobacco situation unfold? And what lessons can we learn from it?
Well, Ted, it was a long and bumpy road. It took decades of research, mountains of evidence, and knockdown, drag-out legal battles before the true dangers of smoking were finally accepted. By then, millions of people had already paid the ultimate price. It's like we were trying to put out a forest fire with a water pistol. We simply can't afford to make the same mistake with vaping. The clock is ticking, and every day we wait could be costing lives.
I get where you're coming from, Eric. But we can't ignore the potential benefits of vaping for current smokers. It's not black and white. We're dealing with shades of gray here. Vaping might have its risks, but for someone trying to quit smoking, it could be a real lifesaver. We need to balance caution with practicality. It's like choosing between a rickety bridge and no bridge at all when you're trying to cross a raging river.
Kate, that's the same. It's complicated argument the tobacco industry used to delay regulation for years. We need to act on the evidence we have now.
Acting too hastily could have serious consequences, Eric. We could end up pushing people back to smoking, which we know for a fact.
How do you think future generations will view our handling of the vaping issue?
If we don't take decisive action now, Ted, I fear they'll see it as a tragic repeat of the smoking epidemic. They'll look back and wonder why we didn't learn from our mistakes, why we let history repeat itself. It'll be like watching a car crash in slow motion, knowing we could have prevented it but chose not to.
Or they might criticize us for overreacting and denying people a useful tool to quit smoking. We could end up being seen as the generation that let fear mongering trump science and common sense. It's a delicate balance, and we need to tread carefully. Future generations might thank us for taking a measured approach rather than jumping to extreme conclusions.
Let's look ahead. If these findings are confirmed, how might things unfold?
Well, Ted, I think we could see the hammer come down pretty hard. We might be looking at stricter regulations across the board, maybe even outright bans on those flavored e-cigarettes that seem to be catnip for kids. And let's not forget the legal side of things. I wouldn't be surprised to see a tsunami of lawsuits against vape manufacturers. It could be like watching the tobacco industry's legal battles all over again, but on fast forward.
Whoa, slow down there, Eric. That's a major overreaction. We might see some tweaks to the rules, sure, and maybe better age restrictions, but outright
the health costs could be astronomical, Kate. We might be looking at a surge in cancer cases in 20, 30 years, just like
or we might see a significant decrease in smoking-related deaths as more people switch to vaping. You're only looking at one side.
What about the impact on the vaping industry itself?
They're in for a rough ride, Ted. We're talking increased scrutiny, tighter regulations, and possibly massive settlements down the line. It's like watching a train heading for a broken bridge. You know it's not going to end well. The vaping industry might find itself in the same boat as big tobacco, trying to navigate through a storm of public outrage and legal challenges.
Or, and hear me out on this one, they might rise to the challenge. The vaping industry could innovate, creating even safer products. They could become part of the solution to smoking addiction, not just another problem. It's like when car companies started focusing on safety features. They adapted and evolved. The vaping industry has the potential to do the same, becoming a force for positive change rather than a public health menace.
That's overly optimistic, Kate. The industry has already shown resistance to regulation. They're more interested in profits than public
health. Because excessive regulation could kill an industry that's helping many people quit smoking. We need to find a balance, not just slam the door shut.
How might public perception of vaping change?
As more studies like this come to light, Ted, I think we'll see vaping become just as stigmatized as smoking. It'll be like watching the fall of a false idol. People will realize that those sleek little devices aren't the harmless alternatives they were cracked up to be. We might see vaping go from being seen as cool and trendy to being viewed as a dangerous habit for the misinformed.
Or we might see a more nuanced understanding develop. People could become more educated about the relative risks and use vaping as a stepping stone to quitting nicotine altogether. It's not about demonizing vaping, but understanding its place in the broader picture of public health. We could end up with a society that's more informed and better equipped to make decisions about their health.
Well, this has certainly been an illuminating discussion. It's clear that the debate around vaping is far from settled, and we'll be keeping a close eye on future developments. Thanks to Eric and Kate for sharing their insights, and thank you for tuning in to Listen To. Until next time, stay informed and stay healthy.